You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church, located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate.
In this environment, you are encouraged and challenged to seek your own truth. Nobody will be telling you what to believe. You will not be judged for your spiritual beliefs here. We understand that personal beliefs are based on personal truths. Personal truths that may be subject to change in the open mind. Beliefs here run the full spectrum, and all are equally respected and welcomed. That's not to say that homophobic, misogynist, racist views will be tolerated here. In fact, if you have any of these tendencies, we're glad you're here, because we're all about opening eyes, opening minds, and transforming worldviews. We focus more on how you live, how you treat yourself, others, and the planet. That's what's important here. This is part two of the Dream Away series, and you will find things are done in a little different order than you're usually used to. Don't worry about it. That's the way it's going to be. So sit back, let the week's stress melt away, open yourself to be evoked and inspired. We wish to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nations lands, which lands were previously occupied by the Seneca and Huron-Wendat First Nations. Each week, in order to remain aware of our treaty obligations and the relationship we have with our First Nations sisters and brothers, we read one of the 94 recommendations sent to all levels of government by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. This is recommendation number 84. We call upon the federal government to restore and increase funding to the CBC Radio Canada to enable Canada's national public broadcaster to support reconciliation and be properly reflective of the diverse cultures, languages, and perspectives of Aboriginal peoples, including, but not limited to, 1. Increasing Aboriginal programming, including Aboriginal language speakers. 2. Increasing equitable access for Aboriginal peoples to jobs, leadership positions, and professional development opportunities within the organization. 3. Continue to provide dedicated news coverage and online public information resources on issues of concern to Aboriginal peoples and all Canadians, including the history and legacy of residential schools and the reconciliation process.
Last week, we gathered here to talk about our memories, to talk about what this place has been to us. It seemed a little self-focused, perhaps, and today will probably seem like that as well. Because in this particular series, in the Dream Away series, we talk about how rich and beautiful things can be when dreams come true. When we reach out and do the things, when we risk what it is we'd like to see happen in our lives, and we make it happen. And we recognize how beautiful that is, how it's so worthy of celebration. And so when we came here last week, we acknowledged that this place has been an extraordinary opportunity for people to find themselves, to bring joy into their lives, to create new relationships, to be present to one another in ways that are beautiful. And relationships have grown over the years. So we had some people come up and share their memories from the times in the year, in the history of this congregation that they've been here, starting from 1950s right up until the more recent, listening to the stories of what had been, the dreams that were lived out, the memories. And then I tossed the memories, as I do every time in the Dream Away service. Frightened some of you, I'm afraid. It's a bit loud, louder than I was expecting, too. Because although the memories are beautiful and are rich, and so many of us have dug our roots deep into this place, absorbing from it the energy and the courage and the strength and the resilience that we need to go forward, we recognize that there are oppositional forces in our lives, in our relationship with this community. Just going to take this little clicky thing off. In our relationships with this community and with our denomination and with the world around us, because we call ourselves do, because we frame what we do the way we do, because we choose to see an entire segment of the population that the church has denied access to, and we have invited them in. And so for that reason, we are outcast at this time. And it's no different than any other dream we've had that's been shattered, any other moment that we've stepped into wonder and beauty and then watched it all fade away. And the dream that has been West Hill teeters on that brink. And so this morning, as we gather, the memories are still on the floor. The dreams we've had are still bruised and feeling the loss. And we walk into the morning bereft and alone.
To face what must be faced, to gain the courage, to handle the future well, how will I know what to do if I see?
our focus moment. There is childcare. I see the childcare attendants coming and checking with the children. If someone wants to spend time with them rather than in here, you're welcome to go. You're welcome to stay as well. The focus moment that I offer at this point is that which relates to the lament, to the realities that we face in our lives, not only here at West Hill, but around the world. We have watched change happening. We're teetering on the brink of we aren't sure what, and we know that it is all in our hands, our opportunity to make change that is positive or crippling. When all is still and dust has settled, how grave the world looks. Midnight craters hewn by hatred, stars swallowed in their depths, gape at the sky from which we've fallen, our souls long sealed in our own dark morass. Were we ever thus? Had we not dreams? Did they not press upon us a beauty, beguiling in its wonder, cast through with equal parts of starlight and heartfelt hope? Did we not cast a dream just yesterday, it seems, of peace and justice flowing down like a river, full and wide, eternal? Was love not full enough, rich enough, powerful enough to soothe and save us? Yet here we are, for dreaming is not enough. It needs us. So this morning, there's much that we have to do. Coming off a week when we've reflected on the things that have challenged us as a community and individually, we recognize that there is work to do, because memories can't sustain us forever. Who we have been, if we live exclusively in who we have been, then we find it difficult to exist in a future that may or may not recognize us. If we live only as we were, then we don't engage as we are, or we don't reach for what we may be. So over the course of the next few months, as we find out what will happen with my leadership in the church, and then what the implications of that are on this community, recognizing we may not even be in this space for another Easter, we have much that we have to do to figure that out. As I was considering this service today and that movement from lament into joy, from sealing our sorrows with all of the attentiveness that they need in order to transform them into dreams, I recognized that there were a couple of things that we needed to have with us whenever we choose to make our dreams become reality. I used to have a sweater that said dream reality, and then the year that I was born, I don't know why they'd put that on the t-shirt, but we do. We have dreams, and dreams, we have dreams because we want them to be reality. We have dreams because we want them to be the way our lives will turn. We have dreams because we hope that something will change, that we will get stronger, that we will deepen our relationships, that we will let go of relationships that have not been wholesome for us, that we will find a new role for us, that we will find a place where our voice can be heard and make a difference. We all have those dreams. But we can never make those dreams come true without two things, I think, and then there's probably more, and I invite you to add to this if you choose. But the two things that I think are essential for dreams to come true, because they don't just happen, you know, you can't just dream something and then walk into it and, oh, look, it happened. That doesn't usually happen. We need truth, because we need to speak to ourselves about the reality worthiness of our dreams. Are these things that can happen? Are these things that would even be a positive energy in the world? If the dreams that we have are self-serving, or the dreams that we have will cost humanity so much more for us to live them out, while we might feel better, are those dreams the dreams that we can bring about? If we can't be truthful, brazenly truthful with ourselves about what it is that we want, that will make us more comfortable, that will help us live a little more easily, that will make us maybe happier, if we aren't boldly truthful with ourselves about the implications of those dreams, not just for ourselves but for others, then we should not bring them about. We need to be bold about that. And once that truth seeps into us, once we realize that, oh, really, I can't do that, or that would hurt too much, or that would get me there but no further, or that would compromise my relationship in this particular way, we can hone our dreams, get them closer to the reality that might be lived out. We can step into them more confident that they are not just good for us, but good for those around us, good for the world. I'm not talking about accommodation. I mean, I'm not talking about not living out your dreams just because somebody else might be mad at you. I'm talking about knowing that what we choose to do is grounded in what is right, is grounded in goodness, is grounded in who we need to be. And the second thing that I think is so essential when it comes to bringing our dreams about is courage. We speak here a lot about encouraging one another, and I often pull that center syllable out and talk about our hearts. When we encourage one another, we wrap our hearts around one another. And sometimes that's very hard. Sometimes someone else's pain is so real that wrapping ourselves around it wounds us too, and we're frightened of that. Or we're afraid that speaking our own truth will be so hard on the ears and the hearts of others that we can't bring ourselves to say it. And so we don't let those hearts wrap around us. We don't allow that encouragement as truthfully as it might be offered, or as fully. But when it comes to our own dreams, I think that courage, a heart belongs there too. Because we can't possibly do anything of any stature, of any significance, of any import in our lives, stepping off the normal path, stepping beyond what it was we did yesterday, stepping beyond the stories everybody tells about who we are. We can't step into that dream unless we have the courage, unless our hearts are fully in it, and we're going to take that step. Over the next few months, we're going to have a whole pile of information sessions going on here, and the board meetings will be ripe with, you know, vibrant conversations about what we should do next. There'll be charts, and there'll be, you know, statistics, and there'll be drawings, and there'll be all kinds of things that we will lay out before you. And they will put your mind at ease about what it is we're going to do. But all of that is for naught if our heart is not in that story, if our heart is not committed to what it is that we choose to do, if our heart isn't pounding with the possibilities of what comes next, then we won't make it. We won't be able to take that step and live it out fully and richly. This season in our tradition is the season about new life after death, about new dreams after the old ones have been trampled, about a story of excitement and fervor and joy, about changing the world, and all of that being lost. That's that first part. The second part is about people coming together and saying, we couldn't give that up. That that can't just end. We can't forget what that was about. It's still beating in me. I still feel it. I know it's here, and I know it's real, and I know we can live it out. That's what that story was about. And so when we're here today, let's let that story grip our hearts. Who we have been. No one can seal that away in some tomb. No one can lose that but us. And we must refuse to do so. So once we have that courage and that truth worked out, then I think our dreams will be bright and large. And I think that what we will do is just the beginning of what will happen, because this is not the end. It will never be the end. I have a second focused moment for now about what is in our hearts. Can you feel it stirring? A touch of what might be? A sign of our tomorrows? There, in your heart, in that simple beat. We share that rhythm, you and I, the heartbeat of our own salvation. Woven of our dreams and brought to life, tooled by our hands, our work, our every now and then together song, our dreams awake. They beat full and strong and urgent in our hearts. They have the power to bind us together, one to the other, if we but let them soothe our separations and challenge us to love. Each of you, I hope, picked up a quote, chose a quote from the plate on your way in the door. I want you to get those out at this point in time. And for the next couple of moments while I'm speaking, you'll see that there's double-sided tape on the back, the most frustrating kind of double-sided tape. So as I'm speaking, you might want to worry one of those corners off and fold it under so that you can pull it off later when we need to free it up. But last week, when we shared the memories, we each had one of them, and these speak to the realities of the dreams that we want to bring about, and each of them has to do with truth or courage or dreams. And you will have chosen one that resonated with you for some reason. That's why you were invited to pick one rather than we just distributed, you know, one to each of you, so that you would have some kind of ownership of what that quote says. Each quote is different. And I want you to spend just maybe a minute or so thinking about why you picked it up. I mean, if you look at it and go, why did I pick that up? It might take you a little while to figure out why it resonated with you. But when you have done that, I'd like you to share with someone what it is that the quote meant to you and why you chose it and what you think it might mean in terms of West Hill moving forward and you as part of that, whether you're here from a distance or whether you're here as a visitor or however you're here. How might you carry on what it is that we dream about in this place, creating a non-exclusive environment where no matter what one's beliefs are, they're welcome in this place. And we try to create a language, symbols, and space in which everyone can be welcome. So I'll leave you for a moment, for a minute or so, get that corner off and figure out what your quote is about and share that with someone else. And then we'll have a few brave souls come forward and tell one another in front of all of us what that quote meant.
So, we can wind up a little bit. We're dreaming, too, about what West Hill can be and what these quotes can make you be. So I'm wondering if a couple of people would like to come and, just as we did last week, just tell one another what their quote meant. Maybe not the people who were talking to each other, but what you got out of it as you shared with the other person, and have someone else come up so you can share it with them. Do I have a volunteer who will do that? It's just a conversation on the bench. It's nothing threatening. Okay. And who would you like to tell? Is there somebody? Okay, Steve's coming up. All right.
Thank you.
You see, I have symbolically moved the memories out of the way so that our dreams can take their place.
Wow, where'd all these people come from?
Well, Steve and I have been chatting here. Actually, Steve's is more interesting than mine. Anyway, the reason I chose this one is because it's by Mark Twain. And who doesn't love Mark Twain? The quote is, "Truth is stranger than fiction, but it is because fiction is obliged to stick to possibilities. Truth isn't." And as I was saying to Steve, I love reading books, and most of what I read is fiction. And it's simply, just as this says so eloquently, the author has the privilege of weaving the story that gives possibilities and makes the story more interesting. Sometimes truth can be kind of dull and brutal.
And sometimes the fiction is closer to the truth.
True.
So you got to say that.
That's why I brought Steve here. So Steve, well, we can do a double whammy because Steve doesn't have his, but he remembers it. So
No, that's not my role today.
Yes, it is.
I'm the listener.
I've done my talking. So okay. Give us your case.
It's actually kind of dull, but
it's not.
Nelson Mandela saying that education is a tool to change the world, and you said, well, of course, that kind of.
I said, that's so perfect. I can see why you chose that one because, as you know, Steve is big on education.
That's it. Okay, we're done.
We are.
Back there?
Yeah, that's why I should get back. Okay, who else would like to come up and share about their quotes?
Thank you.
All right, we'll give you a hand. He's very good at that. Who else would like to share about their quote? Layla? Okay, would someone like to come and listen to Layla's quote? Someone come and share with Layla? Anyone? Okay, thank you.
I somehow expect you to just sit and do it. I was just thinking of doing.
I'll sit with you. Sit down. Let's sit down. Well, good. Sit.
Something, just stand up.
That's okay. Just take your mic and speak about it. Hi.
What was that? Oh, I was just going to remind you. That's me.
Your name. Okay.
Well, it's not a name change, but
okay.
Anyway.
I would like to say that I really admire Greta for her creativity doing this project, this activity here, and I think I want to take the path there. But anyway, however, my quote here is, people concern themselves with being normal rather than natural. Robert Newton Anthony. My idea about this is being normal. We were just talking about this, that is performing according to other people's expectations versus being natural, where you are being original. And so I think that this is how we are made, differently. Each one, heaven made each one of us differently. Do you agree with me? Are we made differently? Each one of us? So then, so when you're being normal, I don't agree with that. Like, okay, normal for a few things, but be original. I would prefer to be original. And I hope that people would respect it and appreciate it somewhat.
Okay. Do you want to share yours?
Sure. Mine says, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. And it's by Margaret Mead. So to me, I think it is about people getting together and using their voice and opposing something that they know is wrong when they may be the minority in the situation or not have the power in the situation, and how effective it can be.
Okay, can you stick them on the back of the pew? Just leave them up here like that. Did I put it right side up? Yep.
Oh, yes.
Perfect. Okay. Do we have two more? Okay. Yes. All right. Lovely. Toby and Catherine. I'll hand you the mic. Oh, yeah. Sure.
My quote is from Oscar Wilde. The truth is rarely pure and never simple. I chose it because, as some here know, I've been involved in U.S. politics for many years, and I'm dismayed at having a president in the U.S. who thinks the truth is simple and pure, and it's never simple and never pure.
Yeah. You got to ponder that for a while, actually.
I never thought that that's the way he sees it, and of course you're right.
Yeah. So, well, my quote says, wanting to be liked can get in the way of truth. And well, some of you know the story of our coming to West Hill, and that's sort of where the connection came from, is that we were at a traditional high Anglican, rather poorly presented Christmas celebration when my son piped up that if only he wasn't an atheist, we should go to church more often. And which I hadn't realized he had arrived at this, but I had been neglectful of indoctrinating him. So in any event, tomorrow I'm actually hosting a traditional Easter meal for the High Anglican part of the family. And but it has been noticed that I'm not tagging along with them this year, and I've begun to simply present to them, I guess, that we found a place that feels more authentic to us. And I think my likability rating is going down. Hopefully temporarily. Just hope that the roast potatoes turn out.
Okay, if you put your quote on the back of the pew. Great. Perfect. Thank you. You got your corner off. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. I think we should probably... Is anyone else dying to come up and take this hot seat? Walt, come on up.
Nope.
Walt. Oh, Scott's going to sit with Walt.
Didn't hurt your bad hip, did I?
No.
Okay, good, yeah. The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. I was going to ask Scott if he'd come up and sit beside me while I read that. My question that I'm going to put to Scott first is, do you know Greta Vosper?
Partially.
Yeah, nobody ever really... Yeah, gotcha. The people who are crazy enough to think they can are the ones who do. She's nuts. She's crazy. Many people will say, I'm crazy. Yeah, that's why we're here, right? We're all the same kind of crazy. Remember Dr. Seuss? He's weird.
Thank you.
This blends really beautifully with that. It echoes the conversation that Greta and I have on this same subject, that if you're doing that right thing and leaning into the situations of need for it to succeed, you have the potential to be very discouraged. If you enter it because it's right and it resonates within you and it must be done, then what happens on the other end is very important, but it doesn't change why you went in. And so this quote is by the pilot, I believe, Anne Morrow Lindbergh. It takes as much courage to have tried and failed as it does to have tried and succeeded. And I think it's in that what brought you to that situation. It's like, you know, I always said to Greta, if we, well, this is kind of a morose sort of thought, but this is, if we were on a Titanic all sinking, but we had 2 days left and no one was going to come rescue us, it would still matter what we did and how we treated each other, although the, so it's that, I love that idea, and that blended very nicely with you. We blend very nicely.
You need to put your quote up here on that bench. Walter. Walter, hello. We need you to leave your...
We're going to be checking pockets at the door on the way out to make sure.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
In this topsy-turvy rhythm of things today, we'll be going to be doing the greeting shortly. But before we do, Greta's got a few words.
Yes, I want to invite someone to come and sit with me. Azeb, would you come and sit with me? I've moved all the memory stones from last week out of the way to make room for dreams. But the memories that we've had with this young woman are memories that have been beautiful. A little too long, but beautiful. Azeb lived with us here in the building for almost 3 full years as there was an order for her arrest and her deportation. And because we believed strongly that the decision that had been made was not the right decision, she moved into sanctuary and lived with us for a very long time. And this Sunday, when we celebrate new life, we thought that would be the excellent time, an excellent time, to celebrate your new life, which will be built on the memories that you have from here, but will be filled with all kinds of newness and joy and light. And we are delighted that you're building that new life and that Canada now is seeing the opportunity that they have to be stronger and more beautiful because of what it is that you will offer our country and our community and our lives. So we're celebrating you. We have a couple of little gifts for you. There's a gift, I don't know. And this is from the congregation. This is, and we have a cake for you. In the coffee, it says a new life on it. So. It's been a joy to have with us, even though it was a joy that we would not. There you go. You can go. And now Kevin is going to invite everyone to greet you and to come up in this place. So you can set that to the side because people are going to come up now. And
in West Hill tradition, we're going to invite you all to stand and greet one another. However, do it with your saying in your hand. And sometime during that greeting time, please come up and stick yours on the back of the pew. Everyone, please stick your saying on the back of the pew as you gather around and greet one another, and make sure that you greet Azeb in that process as well. We'll spend just a few minutes and then the bell will be rung to wind it up. If you haven't already done so, please bring your saying up and stick it on the pew and find your seat. Thank you.
Okay, we have, thank you so much. We now have an inspiration bench that we'll put out in our lobby, and it will remind us of what it is that will fuel our dreams and help us find our way to the next tomorrow. Thank you for helping to create and lift up those things that will make our dreams come true, the truth and the courage that it takes to see our way forward to what it is that we will unfold in the coming year. Ideas that are just now percolating in your own minds, that have been whispered around the board tables, starting to make themselves real. It will be your courage, your examination of the truth, your desire for that dream to come into being that will make it so. So go out into a world that is cast all over with dreams. Not a single person walks on this earth that doesn't have a dream. And go there and reflect the truth and courage that they need to make those dreams come true. Help them speak it and form it. Fill them with light. For you are light. It is in your heart. It is in your mind. It is in your being. And it is yours to shine. Go from this place and shine. Seated. Sorry, I need to have you sit down because Babette is going to bring us an incredible song about you.
Somewhere there's a river looking for a stream. Somewhere there's a dreamer looking for a dream. And somewhere there's a drifter trying to find his way. And somewhere someone's waiting to hear somebody say, I believe in you. And I can't even count the ways that I learning how to sing. And some of us can't move ahead. We're paralyzed with fear. And everybody's listening, 'cause we all need to hear. And I can't even count the ways that I believe in you. And all I want to do is help you to believe in you. You up, I will help you stand. I will comfort you when you need a friend. I'll be the voice that's calling.
You have been listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.